Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is my friend Bob Port. And Bob came up last week for the primary, and we had a discussion at WCAA with our friend Jason Mutford, and we did commentary about the election. So Bob is here to give an overall assessment of the primary vote and what happened and the coverage that it got. So, Bob, thank you for coming on Focus on Albany.
Sure.
Can you give us your assessment of, first of all, I want to ask you, how have you been feeling lately?
Well, as you know, I'm in a battle with cancer, and right at the moment, I'm actually feeling very well. Chemotherapy was stopped a few months ago. My body's recovering from that. It was pretty devastating, and we're waiting for my kidneys to kind of get back to normal. And then we'll begin something called immunotherapy, which has some promise. So, but right now I feel sort of artificially good.
Oh, that's terrific. And so you came up last week for the to vote in the primary. So overall, what was your assessment from the election itself?
I did. I came up to Albany, one of my last acts, right after going to the post office to change my address, was to vote for the mayor in Albany. I cast my vote for Frank Commisso Jr. in the Democratic primary. I wasn't surprised by the result. I think it had been pretty well outlined in a couple of Siena polls that were done. I think those polls turned out to be rather accurate in the end. They were not so accurate in predicting Frank Commisso's strength as a candidate or Carolyn McLaughlin's weakness as a candidate, but they certainly pegged Kathy Sheehan's support. She won more than a majority of the voters in the Democratic primary, and there was a big turnout. It was a very large turnout for an Albany mayor race, more than 17,000 votes cast in that primary. She got round numbers, 52%. And what it tells me is that the voters in Albany, who are not necessarily, who do not, the Democratic Party voters in Albany, who don't necessarily reflect all people in Albany or even voters in Albany total, are perfectly happy with how things are. They like Kathy Sheehan as their mayor. And I would say what's going to happen is nothing is going to change. The city's fiscal situation is going to continue. That situation, to sum it up, is there's a roughly $20 million a year structural deficit in the finances of the city government. It's not going to go away. The mayor is going to have to go hat in hand back to the state legislature, begging for bailout money every year for as far as the eye can see until something changes. I think that the two challengers showed that it's really hard to unseat an incumbent mayor in Albany, and it's really hard to unseat someone who is as liberal and progressive as Kathy Sheehan is. I wonder how much the people who voted for her really even know or care about the nitty-gritty of Albany's city government or its economic development system, which I think is deeply flawed and very ineffectual and hidden and secretive and mismanaged. I wonder how much people even know about that subject. The campaign was a relatively quiet campaign, as these things can go. It didn't get a great deal of media coverage. The Times Union certainly did its obligatory stories. And when someone like Frank Commisso would bring to light something like a completely outrageous tax break that was illegally given to a condo building in downtown Albany under Kathy Sheehan's watch, it got dismissed by the various excuses given to City Hall. Oh, we didn't know. Oh, it was the appraiser's mistake. And they just basically dropped it. And some of their staff live in that building and get substantial benefit from the illegal tax break that they have been getting. So the media coverage was superficial, and it avoided any hint of controversy. The Times Union, the local paper, is basically in the tank, all in for Kathy Sheehan and the status quo in Albany.
Now, what percent? Go ahead.
I was going to add the TV stations, except for an occasional aggressive report, typically by a young reporter, they just didn't pay any that much attention at all. I mean, they just covered the obligatory things.
Kathy Sheehan won with 52% of the Democratic voters that came out last Tuesday. From your estimation, what percentage of those people is the overall voting electorate in the city of Albany? What percentage of the vote did she get covering overall, like 10%, 20%? What do you think?
Well, I just did a little calculation here. She got 6,152 votes. Is 13.67%. That's 14% of all the registered voters, roughly, in the city of Albany. And because it's a Democratic town, the Democratic Party commands 76% of the registered voters in Albany. The other parties, Republican, Conservative, Working Family, are just tiny numbers. So basically, about 1/8 of the voters in the city decide who the mayor will be. And it should be noted that, you know, Kathy Sheehan won this race. She won it decisively. A majority, 52% is 52%. But that means there's 48% of the people interested enough to vote who wanted to fire her. And that's not exactly a mandate for her. It was just sort of squeaking by.
Okay, so 14% of all of the voters in the city of Albany voted for Kathy Sheehan. The other people who can vote, I'm trying to phrase this, 14% of all of the voters decided, presumably, decided the election in the city of Albany. So the rest of the population has to kind of live with the findings of the 14%. How can that be changed?
That's a very difficult problem. I think it can only be changed by some sort of massive wake-up call, some kind of scandal that just rocks the very roots of the Democratic Party machine in Albany, which has existed for decades and decades and decades, and is not going to go away just because some challenger candidate steps forward inside the party or outside the party. Uh-huh. So it would take the city lapsing into insolvency, being forced to declare bankruptcy, some massive embarrassment such as the city's inability to meet its payroll, which almost occurred 2 years ago. They had to borrow money to issue paychecks. When that happens, that's a sign of serious trouble. That preceded the city's loss of bond rating that occurred months later. So short of some event, some horrible scandal that would just bring down Kathy Sheehan or some of her cohorts, it's never going to happen. So my advice to the people of Albany who aren't part of the 14% is get used to it, get out your checkbook, because you're going to be paying more taxes and things are going to get a little more expensive and perhaps a little bit worse before they get better. That's a pessimistic attitude on my part, but that's how I see it going. It won't be dramatic.
There were a lot of party officials, a lot of elected officials who supported Kathy Sheehan. And these people realize that the city is in a downward spiral. And these are elected officials, and I'm going to name them. I'm going to say Pat Fahey, John McDonald. They've got to know that Albany is not, you know, fiscal, you know, it's good fiscally. So, does that say something about the elected officials that threw their weight behind Kathy Sheehan? In other words, don't they care about the city that they represent?
Well, what it tells you is that they're all Democrats. That's probably about all that it really tells you. I think they do care about the city. I don't think they're indifferent toward the city of Albany, its condition, and its plight, and they're going to keep pushing for the things that are important to them. But the problem is that Albany is almost a city of the damned. As a capital city, its tax base is just predominated by state government, which is itself exempt from tax. They make payments in lieu of taxes. It attracts not-for-profit organizations that want to be in the state capital, who don't have to pay any property tax. And it suffers, like all of upstate New York, from the state's oppressive business climate, this very negative business climate, which is beset by over-regulation at all different levels, extremely high operating costs, extremely burdensome worker compensation requirements, burdensome utility costs that are sort of handed to us by the PSC and its policies. So all these things sort of conspire against Albany, as they do all upstate New York cities, but especially so Albany. But when you've lived in a place your whole life or most of it, or you've chosen to make a place like Albany your home, you tend to always want to look on the bright side. We can still keep building bike paths. I don't know who's going to ride their bikes on those paths, but they sure look nice and they make people feel good. And that's kind of the feel and the attitude that I've seen from the Sheehan administration and Democratic Party leaders in general. Also, I think Kathy Sheehan is very popular because she's quite anti-Trump, and on some of these hot-button national issues, she's willing, mm-hmm. as a female political leader, to come out and speak her mind, and people in Albany identify with that point of view. Unfortunately, their candidate, Hillary Clinton, didn't win the national election, but
right.
That fight goes on. And so we hear Kathy Sheehan talking about making Albany a sanctuary city, even though, and she knows this, it is a completely ridiculous idea that isn't even possible on her part. It's the county jail and the
uh-huh.
sheriff who control how immigrants are detained or sent to federal officials. But they love the talk. They love the attitude. They love the liberal, progressive positions. And their city, while it may not be a boom town right now, it's still kind of okay.
Now,
it still has hotels.
Right.
It still has hotels downtown.
You're right.
Practically every
right.
single one of them are getting massive tax bailouts and other economic development incentives to keep them from leaving. You know, we built a little convention center, a little mini, cute little convention center, kind of wedged that next to a parking lot. It isn't very big. It's not going to attract any big events, really. But it sure looks good, and it was, of course, hundreds of millions of public dollars that built that. But the Albany always manages to keep enough of its soul to convince the people in the power structure and in the elites that, well, things are okay enough.
Now, when you talk about elites, let's talk a little bit about
sure.
the media. You find fault with the coverage from the Times Union. Can you explain why?
I'll try. I've been gone from the Times Union for 4 years now. But when I was there, I found that, first of all, there's really very little coverage, very little reporting resources devoted to the city government. The Time Union used to have a reporter in downtown Albany in an office, a bureau. That ended years ago, 7 years ago. And now they have one reporter, Amanda Fries, who is also mm-hmm. pulling weekend duty and other duties, covering county government. Just sometimes day-to-day police news. They're so short-staffed that they don't have anybody to really watch anything or do any kind of in-depth reporting. And the attitude I saw on the part of the Times Union is they just don't really care. They don't really care about the city of Albany. It is their namesake, but their printing plant and their offices aren't in Albany. They're in Colony. They're outside
right.
the city. And mm-hmm. most of the members of the editorial board of the Albany Times Union don't live in the city of Albany. Rex Smith, the executive editor, doesn't live in Albany. He lives in Brunswick in
right.
Rensselaer County.
Right.
Jay Jochnowitz, the editor of editorials, has a little horse farm outside in the hill country of Albany County. And I could go on and down the list. Many of the people, the local editors, they live in Schenectady. They don't live in Albany. So they don't really care. They're not getting that tax bill that I was getting when I lived in Albany, or my landlord actually was getting at a commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not feeling it, and they're not seeing it the same way that someone who lives in Albany. So Albany is a place they can drive to see the Albany Symphony at the highly subsidized Palace Theater. And they can all say, well, our city has its own symphony orchestra, of course, only through
uh-huh.
massive public support of that institution. So my impression is they really don't care. They also don't want to get involved in controversy. And they, like so many Democrats, registered Democrats in the city of Albany, they're liberal. They're left-wing. They're far left-wing. They love it when Kathy Sheehan says, sanctuary city, sanctuary city. They just love that. And they're going to back her up no matter what happens. Fiscal problems, schmiscal problems, they don't seem to have any clue of what the long-term implications are of that situation for the city. And when it comes to economic development, the people who are benefiting are the elites of Albany. They are Albany Medical Center, the College of St. Rose, other large institutions in the city and commercial institutions that are able to influence where tax breaks and economic development will go. And those are their friends. Those are the friends of the editors of the Albany and the publisher, George Hearst III, mm-hmm. of the Albany Times Union. So it's all a happy, cozy little lovey-dovey family of people who don't see any problem at all with a city that has some of the highest property tax rates in the United States. They're not at the top. They're just kind of close.
Wow. So, you know, one of the decisive issues that I was concerned about, even though I'm not subjected to it, was the trash fee. And
yes.
I think you and I had gone to that Cameron Council meeting where there were a lot of people who stood up and voiced their disapproval of the trash tax fee. Well, come to vote, you know, it went through. I thought a lot of those people that would be upset over that would come out in droves to make a
yeah.
change in Albany, but they didn't. How do you reason that?
Yeah, they did. I think you're right. They didn't. Not in any great numbers. Well, the trash fee was very cleverly done. Okay, it does not apply to the single family homeowner. Most people are still getting their trash and their recycling, such as it's done in Albany. They're getting that picked up for free. It's only the apartment dwellers, the multifamily building dwellers or multifamily building owners who have to deal with the fee. And that fee tends to get diluted in their rent. So, you know, Albany is populated by a portion of the population is very transitory. People who are coming to work for state government, maybe spending a few years and leaving, moving somewhere else. Lobbyists who are coming into town for work on a particular subject and then leaving. Lots of renters. And renters tend not to feel the pain that a landlord feels or a property owner feels on a trash fee. So, you know, that one was very cleverly sneaked through, and it didn't cause enough pain in the right places to cause a big, big voter backlash. But that problem of trash is going to get worse, and the city is confronting mm-hmm. the end of life of its landfill, and eventually they'll just have to charge everybody for trash, and voters will get exactly what they asked for or didn't know they were asking for, but are going to get anyway. So, yeah.
So we have about 5 or 6 weeks until the general election. And, you know, I think there's some rumblings out there, but, you know, that's to be seen. So, I will be covering the races in Albany, and I hope, Bob, that you'll keep an eye on, you know, what's going on, and maybe after the election you and I can have another conversation about what transpired.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I think the November race, you may see a bit more of a spirited protest vote against the Democratic choice for mayor than you normally have seen in years gone by. There is a conservative candidate, Joe Sullivan, who's an intelligent guy who's going to get some support. There is Frank Commisso is still on the independent line. I assume that will just stay on the ballot, even though I suspect Frank won't do anything to push that. If I were voting in November, I'd vote for Frank Commisso on the general ballot. But I don't live in Albany anymore, so I'm not going to do that, be able to do that. But we'll see. Essentially, however, it's a non-event. It always has been. The mayor of Albany has really already been elected by the Democratic Party, which controls everything in the city of Albany.
So it's going to be very interesting, and I hope we can talk again about this. So you've been listening to Bob Port, former editor, investigative editor for the Times Union. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. And for those who live in the city of Albany that are listening to this, please tune in to 107.3 WCAA. It's a new station in Albany, and I hope you people like what you hear. So thanks, everybody, and thank you, Bob. Have a great day.
Thank you.